The Haunting of Imladris, a Silmarillion fan fiction written by the Scrap Witch and narrated by Lord Grimwing. Summary. There's something strange in Imladris, something that keeps any bard from staying there long. But Lindir has never been known for making smart decisions, and, armed with a special harp from Lady Galadriel, he's determined to make a new home for himself in Lord Elrond's kingdom. What's the worst that could happen? This story has a rating of general audiences, and no archive warnings apply. The main characters are Maglar, Lindir, Elrond Perethel, and Celebrion. Additional tags. Hurt Comfort. Maglar is a cryptid. Eldritch Horror. Kidnap Dads. Lindir is the dumb hot character in a horror movie. Lucky for him, the horror decides to adopt him. Kidnap Fam. The Haunting of Imladris. When Lindir arrived in Imladris, he brought with him a letter of introduction, 2 dozen songs, 3 nice robes, a harp, and hope for a fresh start. The harp had been a gift, crafted ages ago in Valinor, and he held it close to his chest, still in disbelief that such a beautiful instrument was now his. The hope had been mocked by many when he announced his plan to move. "Are you sure?" Lindir was asked repeatedly. "Lord Elrond is gracious, and the kingdom is lovely, but you would be going there to work as a bard. All the other bards who've gone to work there haven't lasted long. Something happens, something strange, and then they sell, or move to Mirkwood, or run to join one of the human settlements near Gondor. No bard goes to Imladris and stays. If you were smart, you'd move somewhere else." Lindir had brushed such concerns away. "Well, I'm not smart. I mean, I'm not going to move somewhere else. Others might have gotten cold feet and left, but I won't. Besides, if there aren't any other bards, then I don't have to worry about any competition, or having my harp strings stolen." Still, he couldn't help but feel a little nervous when he presented his letter of introduction to Lord Elrond. Strange rumors aside, there was always the chance that he would not be accepted, and then Lindir would have to try his luck at Mirkwood, and he really didn't want to do that. The last time he visited, Lord Thranduil had glared at him over an endless glass of wine, constantly comparing Lindir's hair to his. But Lord Elrond's smile was kind, and Lindir soon felt himself relaxing, comfortable in the garden pavilion where he'd been invited to sit. "Lady Galadriel speaks highly of you," he said. Lindir blushed at that. "The Lady of Light has been the most supportive of my musical endeavors," he said. At times, she had been the only one supportive of them. He would not have half the confidence in his abilities if it weren't for her kindness, her willingness to take a moment to listen to a poor elf's songs. "I am surprised you would leave her kingdom then, and wish to stay here."
"I thought it best for a change of scenery," said Lindir. "A new location to recharge my creative inspiration."
Well, that and other reasons, but Lord Elrond didn't need to be bothered by Lindir's personal problems.
"I see." Lord Elrond's eyes drifted to the harp in Lindir's hands. "That instrument." Something like grief flickered in his eyes.
"My lord?"
"I have seen it before, long ago. After the War of Wrath, I thought it had been destroyed." He shook his head, as though pushing a memory away. May I ask where you found it?
I once again have Lady Galadriel to thank for it. Lindir ran his fingers across the strings, sending a few sweet notes into the air. She gifted it to me in thanks for a memorably entertaining performance.
It must have been quite spectacular, said Lord Elrond. It belonged to one of her cousins, you know.
Yes, though Lindir couldn't remember which one. Lady Galadriel had so many, and most of them were long dead, and their Sindarin names always blended with the Quenya ones in his head. She said it had been silent long enough and deserved to be played.
Lady Galadriel is very wise.
A stern-faced elf brought them tea, and Lord Elrond paused to pour both Lindir and himself a cup.
May I ask what it was that you sang about? If your song could win such a gift, I would be curious to hear it myself.
Ah, it wasn't memorable for the song, exactly. Lindir blushed again, this time in embarrassment. It wasn't even my own composition.
Well, he'd have to admit to this failing eventually. Best to say it now instead of later.
I have a terrible memory for history. I can't help it. There is far too much of it, and all of the songs written, especially those from the First Age, are dreadfully boring, in my opinion, respectfully. But an old man came to visit Lothlorien, Gandalf, I think his name was, and asked if I could sing about one of the famous elven smiths. The most famous smith, according to him, who lived in Valinor before the two trees were destroyed.
And you did not know the song?
I knew most of it, said Lindir.
He could not meet Lord Elrond's eyes, the memory still a terrible shame.
But I kept getting the smith's name wrong, for the whole song.
He still didn't know what it was. Ferenor? Faramir? Fingolfin? I see.
Lord Elrond, thankfully, did not laugh. Lady Galadriel still enjoyed it, though. That had been the most important thing, and the only reason Lindir had not thrown himself into the sea. She thought it was delightful, and said that she hadn't laughed so hard in ages, and that I deserved a reward for such a wonderful performance.
Lord Elrond's smile widened. That does sound like something she would appreciate.
Tea finished, he stood.
Well then, Lindir, if you have the skill to make the Lady of Lothlorien laugh with delight, then you are more than welcome to live here. Allow me to formally welcome you to Imladris. I hope you will find it a place of comfort and safety. It has been too long since we've had a bard in these halls, and I am looking forward to the chance to hear your own compositions.
He gave the harp one last bittersweet look.
You said that you do not like historical songs. May I ask what you prefer to write about?
Lindir grinned, always happy to talk about his music. Certainly. I prefer to focus on the small joys of this world, the little things that are often so cruelly overlooked. Currently, I'm working on an epic ballad focused entirely on the beauty and necessity of moss.
Moss? Lord Elrond repeated.
Yes, said Lindir. Currently, it is 12 pages long, but I estimate that the final ballad will be around 35.
Lord Elrond raised an eyebrow at that. I see. Well, I'll be sure to give you a north-facing room then, if you would follow me.
Lindir went with Lord Elrond, ready to write and sing and fill Imladris with music. he did not see the shadow that followed behind him. Living in Imladris was as lovely as Lindir had hoped it would be. The inner court was far smaller than that of Lothlorien's, more of a family than a ruler and their subjects, and Lindir quickly became part of it. There was Lord Elrond, of course, wise and kind and possessor of infinite patience. Lady Celebrian, who wore flowers in her hair instead of jewels and loved to laugh. Their children, the twins, Elladan and Elrohir, who had their father's dark hair and their mother's cheerful disposition, and little Arwen, who wobbled after her brothers on chubby legs. There was also Eristor, who had survived the fall of Eregion and kept Imladris running with a terrifying sort of efficiency. And Glorfindel, whose name sounded familiar, but Lindir couldn't remember from where in history and was too embarrassed to ask. Many visitors passed through, seeking healing or knowledge or a few days' rest before continuing on their journey. Not just elves either, but men as well, and the very rare hobbit, though Lindir had trouble telling the two mortal races apart. Lindir spent long, sunny days playing songs to soothe the sick or a cheerful tune for Lord Elrond and Lady Celebrian to dance to, teaching the twins how to play simple skells, making up silly rhythms to make Arwen giggle, or sitting in the green woods to work on his epic ballad about moss. Beautiful days where absolutely nothing was wrong. Well, that was not entirely true. As wonderful as Imladris was, there were some things that Lindir could not deny that were strange. Music rose from empty rooms in the middle of the night, puddles of water scattered on his floor, despite the days being dry and not a single drop of rain falling from the sky. There would be, at odd hours, the filling of eyes on the back of his head, a shadow half seen in the corner of his vision. Sometimes the air smelled of sea salt, or of rotten fish. Even when he locked his door, he'd come back to his room to find things moved around, ink spilled, shaky Quenya letters scribbled across his songs, correcting a misspelling or a wrong note. Once he woke and, half asleep, thought he saw another elf in the mirror standing behind him. Dark hair in old-fashioned war braids, a red robe decorated with 8-pointed stars. But then he blinked, and the dream image was gone. Oddities like that only seemed to grow more frequent the longer Lindir's stay went on, but no one else seemed to notice the music, or the weird smells, or shadow that always moved just before he could see what it really was. I've lived with worse, he thought, and pushed it to the back of his mind. And I did not travel all the way here only to run away now. Why worry about unexplained things when there was a song to write, children to entertain, 100 bright, small joys to focus on? If my choice is between this and the trouble I left behind in Lothlorien, then I will pick this. This is fine, he told himself, cleaning up puddles, ignoring the shadows, using the midnight music for inspiration. Everything is perfectly fine. All would have stayed fine if Brenion had not arrived in Imladris 5 months after Lindir had. Captain Brenion now. He'd gained a promotion since Lindir had last seen him. One he'd earned from his time patrolling the borders of Mordor, and had been put in charge of a group of Lothlorien's finest soldiers. He'd always been good at convincing people to side with him. Lindir was with Lady Celebrian when they arrived, and could not slip away while she greeted them.
Welcome to Imladris, Captain Brenion. What brings you and your soldiers so far from Lothlorien's borders?
Your mother sent us, said Brenion, bowing. She and your father miss you terribly, and would like us to bring you back to visit while the roads are clear of shadows. Well, as clear as they can be in these dangerous times.
Lady Celebrian frowned. My mother normally writes ahead. I received no letter of this plan.
She did not want it to be intercepted.
Brenion caught Lindir's eye, smirked ever so slightly, and then returned his full attention to Lady Celebrian.
She understands, of course, that you could not possibly leave right away, and truthfully, my lady, my soldiers and I would appreciate a few weeks of rest before making the return journey.
He's only visiting,
Lindir reminded himself, hands trembling as he tried to focus on his harp. Lady Celebrian led the soldiers further into Imladris's halls, and Brenion sent Lindir one last smirk before disappearing from view.
He'll be gone soon. I can manage until he does. I'll be fine.
Lindir did his best to avoid Brenion, but being the only bard in Imladris meant he had to be present at every formal function, every mill or meeting that had guests, including this most unwanted one, required his presence, leaving him vulnerable to the weight of Brenion's cold eyes, his smirk, their heavy history breathing down his neck. There was no escaping it. There was no escaping him. Brenion waited until the end of the first week before cornering him. Lindir had tried to rush back to his room as soon as he could leave the evening mill, but that night he hadn't been fast enough. Brenion caught the door before Lindir could slam and lock it shut.
Evening.
Go away!
As stuck up as ever, I see.
There was a cruelty in Brenion's eyes that made Lindir shiver.
I heard you moved away while I was stationed near Mordor. Everyone back in Lothlorien was surprised you hadn't told me. Do you know how stupid you made me look, running away from me like that? And I thought we were friends.
We were not friends.
Lindir could not close the door. Brenion's grip on it was too strong. Instead, he hugged his harp close to his chest, as though it could protect him.
True. We were more.
We were not that either.
Lindir's voice shook.
You may have deluded yourself into thinking so, but I made it very clear that I did not, I still do not share those feelings.
You think you can do better than me? You think anyone else will want someone like you?
I do not want to be wanted in that way.
Lindir debated raising his voice. Everyone was either still in the dining hall or asleep, but maybe someone would hear? And do what? Would they come to help, or would they just see it as Lindir causing trouble over nothing? He'd been told that before. Only Lady Galadriel had taken him seriously, though he'd never had the courage to admit how persistent, how terrifying, Brenion could be. No, he had to deal with this by himself, somehow.
Now, if you would please leave, I have a song to work on.
Still writing about stupid things?
They're not stupid.
Who listens to your songs anyway, Lindir? People only ask you to perform because of your looks. You're pretty, and if you didn't have that, no one would pay you a second glance.
Brenion reached out. Lindir flinched, but Brenion grabbed the harp instead of his arm.
This is new. Who gave you this?
That's none of your business. Let go!
You haven't even been here a year, and already you're using your looks to earn your way? His grip tightened. Tell me who gave this to you. Don't be stupid, Lindir. Don't make me break this harp like I broke your last one.
Let go!
Was Lindir imagining it, or did he hear the wood splintering beneath Brennion's fingers?
Please, stop!
Or what? What could you? With a hiss of pain, Brennion let go, taking a step back. Lindir watched, warily, as Brennion covered both his ears with his hands.
What was that sound?
He asked, face twisted in pain.
What sound?
How could you not hear it? It was so loud. I...
Brennion winced again, and then cast Lindir a quick glare.
This conversation isn't over, he said, and then he fled down the hall, still covering his ears.
Shaking, Lindir somehow managed to close the door, lock it, put his harp gently down on the floor, and then collapse onto his bed before his legs gave out. The harp, he saw, wasn't damaged. That was good. He didn't break this one.
He wasn't supposed to be here,
Lindir muttered, wiping at his face, hating that he'd started to cry.
This place was supposed to be far away. It was supposed to be safe. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him so much.
Everyone back in Lothlorien had said that Lindir should have been flattered by Brennion's attention, that Lindir was overreacting, or being silly and stubborn for no reason, that he was the one being rude.
I don't want his attention. I never wanted it.
He shut his eyes, curled up on his bed as the tears continued to fall.
I know what I look like. I'm not trying to lure people in or toy with their feelings. I don't want anyone's romantic attention. I just want to write and play my songs. Why can't it be enough to sing of the small joys of the world? Even if they're not great, they still matter, don't they?
A melody drifted into his head, sweet and soft. A lullaby. Lindir relaxed into it, letting himself imagine the feeling of cloth against his cheek, wiping his tears away.
I don't want him to hurt me again, Lindir mumbled.
And as he fell asleep, he thought he heard a voice whisper in his ear.
He won't.